eyes to see and ears to hear. Luke 7, verse 18 to 8, verse 21. While John the Baptist was still waiting in prison, his apprentices reported to him all the things that Jesus was teaching and doing. Beginning to doubt if Jesus was ever going to bring the revolution of liberation he had been preaching, John the Baptist summoned two of his apprentices. He sent them to the Lord Jesus, saying, "Are you the chosen one we have been waiting on to deliver us from tyranny, or should we be looking for someone else?" When they came to Jesus, the men said, "John the Baptist sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one we have been waiting on to deliver us from tyranny, or should we be looking for someone else?'" In response, Jesus rescued many who were physically, socially, and spiritually oppressed, abused, and enslaved by civilization, and opened the eyes of many who were blinded by civilization's worldview. Then Jesus said to John the Baptist's apprentices, "When you go, report to John the Baptist the things you listened to with your own ears and saw with your own eyes." Just like it says in the 35th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, "The blind see, the disabled walk, the unclean are purified, the deaf mute listen, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel of the Creator's return declared to them." Privileged is the one who is not discouraged and who continues to faithfully follow me. When the messengers of John the Baptist had departed, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John the Baptist. "What did you come out to the wilderness to see? Grass blowing in the wind? What then did you come out to see? A person in fancy and expensive clothes? Look, those with fancy, luxurious, and expensive clothes and possessions live in palaces. What then did you come out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is what has been written in the third chapter of the prophet Malachi concerning John the Baptist. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare the way for your work. I say to you, among all humanity, no one is greater than John the Baptist. Yet, even the least in the Creator's rule is greater than he." When all those who had been baptized by John the Baptist listened to this, they declared that the Creator was full of justice for working outside the bounds of the powerful and wealthy. But those who had not been baptized by John the Baptist, like the members of the political party of the Pharisees and the scholars of Moses' law, rejected Jesus' word and the Creator's transformative work in their lives. Jesus then continued, "To what will I compare the hard-hearted people of this culture, and what are they like? They are like whiny children, sitting in the marketplace wanting others to play along with their game, saying, 'We played music for you, and you did not dance. We were sad, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you said, 'He is occupied and controlled by evil.' Now the human one has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunk, a friend of our Roman oppressors and the outcasts of society.' Nothing will make you happy. The emptiness of your so-called wisdom is being revealed through the foolishness of your lives." Then one of the members of the political party of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. After entering into the man's house, Jesus took a seat. A prostitute learned that Jesus was eating in this house, so she brought a flask of expensive perfumed oil, which was essential to her livelihood, and snuck into the dinner party. Approaching Jesus, she knelt at his feet and began weeping in joy at the possibility of being liberated by Jesus from her life as a prostitute. Her tears began falling upon Jesus' feet, and scandalously letting her hair down, she began wiping his feet with her hair. Then she began pouring the expensive perfumed oil on Jesus' feet, letting go of its wealth and any future as a prostitute. Seeing this scandalous love from a prostitute, the member of the political party of the Pharisees, who had invited Jesus to dinner, said to himself, "If this Jesus was a true prophet, he would have known what sort of woman is touching him, since she is an obvious prostitute." Jesus then said to his dinner host, "Simon, I have something to tell you." Simon said, "Teacher, enlighten me." Jesus replied, "Two needy people were in debt to their master. One was in debt 500 days' pay, and the other was in debt 50 days' pay. Because the master was generous to both of them, he forgave their debts and did not require them to give anything back to him. Therefore, which of the two will love their master more?" Answering, Simon said, "I would assume it is the one who had the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged correctly." While turning to the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "Now, you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you did not give me water to clean my feet, but she has cleansed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You showed me no signs of friendship, but she, from the moment she entered, has not stopped showing love to my feet. You did not pour olive oil on my head, but she poured perfumed oil on my feet. I say to you, because of her great love and generosity, she has been set free from her many prisons. But those who have been set free from little, love little." Then Jesus said to the woman, "You have been set free from everything that has been holding you in bondage." Those who were gathered for the dinner began to say among themselves, "Who is this man who thinks he could just give a prostitute a clean slate in life?" Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your trust in the Creator has rescued you. Go in peace and harmony, living your new life." According to his plan, Jesus then began traveling through city and village, proclaiming the gospel of the Creator's rule. The 12 men he had appointed as the foundation of the new Israel were with him. Additionally, there were some women with him who had been rescued from civilization's control: Mary Magdalene, who had been rescued from 7 of the culture's afflictions; Joanna, the wife of an administrator for Herod Antipas, who was rescued from her life of wealth and power; Susanna, and many others, who were all taking care of Jesus and his apprentices with their possessions and resources. While a great crowd was with him, including many who had come out from the cities to see what he was about, Jesus said in an analogy, "A gardener went out to scatter his seeds. During the scattering, some of the seeds fell beyond the prepared way, which led to the seeds being trampled and eaten up by the birds. Other seeds fell upon rocky soil, and when the plants grew, they eventually dried up because they did not have deep enough roots to access water. Other seeds fell among thorn bushes, and growing together with the thorn bushes, the new plants were eventually suffocated by them. Other seeds fell into the good and prepared earth, and the plants grew to produce 100 times more fruit." While saying these things, Jesus began declaring, "If you have the ears to hear the truth of what I am saying, then listen." Afterward, Jesus' apprentices began asking him the meaning of this analogy. Jesus said to them, "Because you have left everything behind to follow me, the mysteries of the Creator's rule will be revealed to you. But for those who are still lingering in their old lives, the message comes in analogies in order to further harden their hearts until their empty lives collapse all around them. As the 6th chapter of the prophet Isaiah says, so that they will be blind in their seeing and not understanding in their listening." The meaning of the analogy is this: the seed is the word of the Creator. The soil beyond the prepared way represents the people that listen to the Creator's word but are so influenced by civilization that they immediately dismiss the word as crazy and irresponsible. This keeps them from trusting and finding rescue. The rocky soil represents the people that listen and embrace the word with initial joy. However, because they keep things superficial and shallow and don't want to go deep, they have no real roots. They trust in the Creator for a season, but when hard times and struggles come, they fall away from trusting in His word. The soil cluttered with thorn bushes represents the people who listen to the word of the Creator, but their trust and faith is suffocated because they refuse to clear out their busy lives, their responsibilities in civilization, and their pursuits of wealth, possessions, and power. The beautiful soil represents the people who listen to the word, clear out everything in their lives for it, and then go deep with it, treasuring it in their hearts above all else. These produce the good fruit of the Creator's justice with long-lasting endurance. Listen, after lighting a lamp, no one covers it up or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a lampstand so that the light fills the room. Likewise, Nothing is hidden in this life that will not be made known to all and brought into the light. I am here to pull back the curtains that hide the lies of civilization. Therefore, watch out how you listen. Things can be understood in different ways based on your assumptions and worldview. Civilization thinks the wealthy have it all, while the poor have nothing. But those who are poor in wealth and yet rich in faith are the ones who will receive the daily care of the Creator, while those who are rich in earthly possessions are only going to lose what they think they possess. After this, Jesus' mother and brothers came looking for him, but they were not able to meet with him because of the crowds. It was reported to Jesus, "Your mother and brothers have been standing outside wanting to see you." Answering, Jesus said to them, "My mother, my brothers, and my true family are not my blood relatives. They are those who are listening to and living out the word of the Creator."